Welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Well, we had our first Sunday. So many churches, you know, January 1st was not a Sunday that the masses came out for because of holidays and things like that. So really, for churches, yesterday was the big kickoff to 2023. And we had a great crowd, great spirit. And I always like to, as a pastor, always like to have a theme for the year. And so last year we talked about being soldiers for Christ. And our theme verse was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And so we called that theme Soldiers of the Cross. And that's what we are. And God's called us to be that. And we've had themes speaking the truth in love and other things like that. And so this year, as I was praying and seeking the Lord, Ezekiel 22, verse 30 came to mind. And it was as if the Lord dropped that into my heart. And this is what the scripture says. And I searched, this is God speaking, and I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God. Now, I would imagine that most in the listening audience haven't read Ezekiel 22 lately. Ezekiel is a great book. He wrote during he started his ministry during the second deportation around the 593 BC or so, somewhere around there. And if you know your history of the nation of Judah, the nation of Israel, Israel split when Solomon's son Rehoboam was king, and they became two different nations. You had the nation, the 10 tribes that followed Jeroboam that said, you know, we're Israel. They're called the Northern Kingdom. They're called Ephraim, big tribe in the 10 tribes. They're called Samaria. That was their capital city. So when you read in the Old Testament, it talks about Samaria, or it talks about Israel, or it talks about the Northern Kingdom. That's what that is. It's the 10 tribes. The two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, they stayed true to the house of David. And so that kingdom became known as Judah. The 10 tribes, they were conquered by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And the Assyrians, unlike the Babylonians, when they conquered, the Assyrians would intermingle people, and they would try and pollute the bloodline. And so the Jews intermingled with the Gentiles in the Northern Kingdom in Samaria, and they became half Jew, half Gentile, known as Samaritans. And when you read in the New Testament, you find that the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans because they viewed the Samaritans as, you know, you're half-breeds and you're sellouts and you didn't preserve the bloodline and that kind of thing. So Assyria destroyed Israel 722 BC. But now Judah, Jerusalem as the capital, they didn't fall to the Babylonians. They fell kind of in phases. 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came in, and he subjugated the nation of Judah and set up the puppet king, and then they rebelled against him. 597, he comes in there again, slaps them around a little bit, takes more captives. He took captives in 605. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, those are the big name guys that got taken in 605 BC back to Babylon. 597, he does the same thing, takes more captives back to Babylon. They rebel again, and Ezekiel got taken back in that second deportation. And then the third time, 586 BC, they rebel again, and Nebuchadnezzar wipes them off the map, breaks down their wall, and destroys Solomon's temple and raises the city. And it's so just horrific. That's what the book of Lamentations is all about. Jeremiah writes about the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC, And for an interesting read, read the book of Lamentations and see how horrible it was. He goes into detail about how horrible it was, and he is lamenting the fall of Jerusalem. Now, why did it happen? Well, it says in Ezekiel, as Ezekiel is writing before the fall of Jerusalem, that there was a gap in the wall. There was a breach in the wall. That's the language that God uses. They would have understood that because all the cities, fortified city would have a wall around it. We know about the walls of Jericho. The people that lived in Jericho weren't concerned about the Israelites when they were marching around the city because they said, how are you going to get in here? We have this high wall. It's impregnable. In Babylon, they had a big wall around the city. And when the Medo-Persians gathered around Babylon in Daniel chapter 5 to wage war, well, Belshazzar the king, he wasn't worried about it. Why? Because you can't get in here. We have this wall. And so the walls were very, very important. Well, God is saying, hey, there's a breach in the wall. And my wrath is on the other side of the wall, ready to come in. And now you have a hole in the wall. And who is going to stand there in the gap? Who is going to intercede for the land? Who is going to be there so that my wrath doesn't get in? He said, I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord. Now, I think that the programming on American Family Radio is excellent. I love all the different hosts. I love what they're doing. I love the fact that they're keeping us abreast of what's going on in our world. And it's important to know what's going on in the world, what's going on in America, so that you can pray, so that you can be like the sons of Issachar. They understood the times and what Israel should do. If you don't understand the times because you're not paying attention to the times, then it's hard to know what to do. But here's the thing. Solutions to the problems that we have will never come from some slick politician. It will never come from some whiz-bang, some scientist, some educator. It's not going to come from a person like that. It's going to come from God's people when we get serious about being the people God called us to be, when we get right with God, and when we start to call upon His name. You know, revival comes through prayer. And prayer is not, it's one of those paradoxical things, because prayer is easy in the fact that we just talk to God. It's like talking to your best friend. It's talking to your father. We come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You don't have to go to seminary to know how to pray. You just share from your heart and talk to God out of your heart. So on one hand, prayer is easy, but on the other hand, prayer is hard. It's very, very difficult, because if you're like the rest of us, when you go to pray, your mind starts to wander. Maybe you get sleepy. Maybe you seem to run out of bullets after the first, you know, minute and a half of praying. I've prayed everything I know to pray. And it can be hard. But God is looking for people that will call upon His name. Call to me, the Lord says in the book of Jeremiah. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In the book of James, the Lord says, you do not have because you do not ask. And when we talk about prayer that would be standing in the gap prayer, that's intercessory prayer. That's the prayer that Moses prayed for the people so that God wouldn't destroy them. That's the praying that Job did for his children to protect them in case they had sinned against the Lord. He stood in the gap for them. He would intercede for them. And in Ezekiel 22, such a sad verse, 22 verse 30, I searched. God is looking. Is there a boy? Is there a girl? Is there a man? Is there a woman? Just one man who would stand in the gap for the land that I wouldn't destroy it. And he said, but I found no one. No one was interested. No one was focused on you know, what I'm focused on. No one cared about what I cared about. Care about. There's no kindred spirit here. There's nobody as David, a man after God's own heart, who had a passion for the things of God. And so because the Lord found no one, he said, "Thus I have poured out my indignation on them." Since no one's standing in the breach, in the wall, well, that's where my wrath is going to come in. And God did send in his wrath. And he sent in his wrath through the vehicle of the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar, and they wiped out Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting in Ezekiel 22, and I challenge you to read the whole chapter. It's 31 verses, but God gives a detail about what caused the gap in the wall, what caused the breach in the wall. And he doesn't leave anybody out. He said the gap, the breach, was caused by the princes, caused by the priests, caused by the prophets, and caused by the people. It's the sins of the princes and the priests and the prophets and the people that caused judgment to come. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry, for it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come." Because of immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, that brings, which amounts to idolatry, that brings the wrath of God. That creates a breach in the wall. And what was going on in Judah at that time, and the Lord tells us, the princes of the land, the people in charge, those in governmental leadership in the land, he says that they are like wolves tearing the prey, Ezekiel 22:27. They are like wolves tearing the prey by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. You think about the leaders in our land and how they have been corrupted, so many of them. You know, we talk about Washington being the swamp, and you go into the swamp, and we've had people with good intentions. I'm going to go to Washington, and I'm going to drain the swamp, and I'm going to clean this up. But the swamp is... It's hard to be around the mud puddle and not get dirty. It just kind of sucks you in, and the amount of people that will sell their integrity for dishonest gain is just off the charts, and it is sad. You know that we have that expression, "Well, every man has his price." And if you just keep sweetening the pot, it's like Balaam, the son of Beor. They kept saying, "Well, we'll pay you more money if you will curse God's people." If you just keep sweetening the pot, then I will do what you say. Every man has his price, so the saying goes. I was watching a movie years ago with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It came out in 2013. It was called The Last Stand. It wasn't a very good movie, but it had one line in it that was worth the price of admission. Arnold is the sheriff of a small town, and he's fighting this drug dealer, this leader of the drug cartel. The town is right on the border, and the other side is Mexico. And so this drug leader's trying to get in to Mexico and be safe from the law of America. And Arnold is the last stand. And so Arnold is fighting him. Arnold is not so young in springtime anymore, and this guy's a younger guy. And they fight and fight and fight, and finally Arnold seems to win, and the guy says, all right, I'll pay you $20 million just to look the other way." And Arnold says to him, "My honor is not for sale." I just love that line. My honor is not for sale. The leaders in Israel, what were they doing? They were wronging the people and devouring the people for dishonest gain. Their honor was for sale. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're talking about the gap in the wall, standing in the gap for the land. We're going to take a break. Don't go away.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is so frustrating. But here's some great news. If you missed the December 7th deadline for open enrollment, it's not too late. Here's something that can really help. It's MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. It's people who encourage and pray for each other, too. MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. Plus, it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. So worth looking into. MediShare 65 Plus is open for enrollment. And if you join right now, before January 31st, your second month will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
What needs to be told to these black men is get a job, stop fathering children that you can't take care of, stop hanging out in the streets, and stop acting like the cops are your enemy anytime you interact with them, particularly when you're interacting with them in a situation where you know they've come expecting potential trouble because of the circumstances you've allowed yourself to be in. How about trying that?
Weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
In His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality is changing hearts and lives.
It speaks directly to the power and the grace of God.
It gives me hope for people that I know that are struggling.
The whole idea of In His image has moved me.
We actually had one gentleman contact us, and he said that this film changed his mind about this issue. We had a pastor reach out to us, and he said that he'd been struggling with hatred in his heart towards people in the LGBTQ community, and this film helped him to realize he needed to have compassion and show people the love of Christ. We also had this same-sex attracted couple contact us, and they said after seeing the film, they wanted to live obedient lives for Christ no matter what, and they said, please pray for us. We know this is going to be hard. We've even had people come to faith in Jesus through In His Image.
To find out more, visit inhisimage.movie.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Today is Monday, January the 9th. And we're talking about Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, standing in the gap. That's our theme at First Baptist Texarkana. That's our theme for the year, that God is looking for His people, His man, His woman, His boy or His girl, who would intercede and stand in the gap for the land as Moses interceded when the Lord said, I'm going to destroy this people and I'm going to make of you a great nation. And Moses interceded for the people and said, God, please don't do that. And the Lord, as the scripture says, the Lord changed His mind, so to speak. The Lord turned and said, all right, kind of like He did in Nineveh when the people responded. And the Lord said, well, I relent. I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do. And that helps us to see that God is such a good God, and God does not want to judge. God wants to save. 2 Peter chapter 3, the scripture says that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues as it was from the beginning of creation. And Peter says, when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world that at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and the earth by His word are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And people are saying today, well, where is the if God hasn't come, He's forgotten. There's no second coming. There's no judgment. And Peter says, listen, Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some men count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God is marvelously patient, but his patience is not unlimited. And 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will melt with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." God is marvelously patient, and that's why judgment has not yet come. But eventually God's patience runs out. As Adrian Rogers used to say, the waters of God's wrath are furiously beating upon the dam of God's mercy. And one day the dam of God's mercy gives way to the waters of God's wrath. And so God, in the book of Ezekiel 22, verse 30, I'm looking to see, is there someone who will stand in the breach in the wall, in the gap in the wall, so that my wrath doesn't come in and destroy the city and the inhabitants? And I found no one. So the Lord puts the guilt on the princes, and he says, you're tearing people apart. You're supposed to be a protector of the people. You're supposed to be for the people, but what are you doing to the people? You're shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. Now, I shared in my sermon yesterday about the Sackler family. Some of you know about the Sackler family. They were the family that owned Purdue Pharma. They were the family, and Purdue Pharma was the company that produced OxyContin in 1996. OxyContin is an opioid. OxyContin is a drug that was fraudulently presented as non-habit-forming, perfectly safe, this miracle pain drug that would allow you, if you're in chronic pain with your back or your some issue in your body, this will fix it and you can live your life again and everything's going to be wonderful. Well, the drug was not safe. The drug was extremely powerful, extremely habit-forming. They knew that, but they kept pushing and pushing and pushing. They made $38 billion off OxyContin. They spent in 1 year with their advertising blitz, $200 million in advertising to push this drug. They would encourage the doctors so strongly. They had all sorts of incentive plans for the doctors to push the drug. And so they started putting people on OxyContin. And one news source I read said there were as many as 500,000 deaths that could be attributed, traced back to OxyContin. Well, the Sacklers finally came to judgment, and the judgment for many was very incomplete. They had to pay $6 billion, and they had to plead guilty to fraud and other crimes associated with that drug. But why did they do it? They did it, as the scripture says, in order to get dishonest gain. And the overseers at the FDA and other entities that should have blown the whistle and called them out, they were influenced by the lies. They were paid off. Everybody is on the take. Hey, what did Arnold say in The Last Stand? My honor is not for sale. But we have people in positions of leadership whose honor is for sale, and so they sell people out and destroy lives for the sake of gaining an advantage, a dishonest gain. Not to burst anyone's bubble, but in 2009, I read another news story that said Pfizer, the company that brings you the vaccine, they had to pay $2.3 billion for some fraudulent marketing that they had done on a drug way back when. And you know that Pfizer made in 1 year $40 billion off the vaccine. Their sales in 2020 were $41 billion. Their sales in 2021 in 1 year jumped from $41 billion to $81 billion. To think that they couldn't be influenced by money is to be very naive. Now, the scripture says this, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction, for the love of money, verse 10, is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. The love of money. Once you start loving money, you open up Pandora's box to all sorts of evils. And so God says, hey, there's a breach in the wall. And where is it coming from? It's coming from the princes. It's coming from the rulers who are destroying lives, tearing people apart. They're supposed to be protecting the people. They're supposed to be there for the people, but they're tearing them apart for dishonest gain. But then he goes to the second group, and the second group, to me, is much more influential than the princes, and that's the priests and the prophets, the ones who should be declaring to the people, thus says the Lord, the ones who should be teaching the law. They're totally corrupt. Verse 27 of Ezekiel chapter 22 says verse 26, her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. And her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. They weren't doing what they were called to do. They had been given a job by God, the priest, to teach the law, and they weren't doing it. And they were lying to the people. And here's what the scripture says in Jeremiah 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. They are tickling the ears. They are preaching feel-good messages, so the people walk away saying, oh, that was wonderful. I feel so good now. You know, Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America, says that, he just wants people to feel good. I don't want people to feel bad when they come to church. I don't want them to feel bad when they leave. I want them to feel good. And so he just tells them what they want to hear. He just tickles their ears. As it says in 1 Timothy 4, that we're, you know, in the last days, you know, people are going to not endure sound doctrine, but they're going to want to have their ears tickled. And so they will accumulate for themselves teachers according to their own desire and will turn aside from the truth and turn to myths. And so he's one of those guys that just say, hey, come to my church and I will tickle your ears. I'm not going to tell you something that is going to step on your toes. Hey, the word of God steps on our toes. And the job of a priest, the job of a prophet, the job of a pastor, as we would put them together in the New Testament times, as, okay, what does a pastor do? He's supposed to deliver the mail. He's supposed to tell you, thus says the Lord. He's not supposed to, a good and faithful mailman doesn't open up the letters and read them and change them. So, oh, well, this person's not going to like this. This is a report from the hospital and it says they have cancer. They're not going to like that. So I'm going to alter the report so that it says they're fine. And that would be a terrible mailman. That mailman would lose his job and should be in prison if they were doing that lying and taking the words of the authority and twisting them and lying about them. I think far worse than a corrupt politician is a corrupt priest, a corrupt prophet, a corrupt pastor. The job of a pastor is to deliver to the people what the Lord says. is to intercede for the people, is to warn the people. And I love this. There's a Bible version I have on my computer called the Easy to Read Version. And the Easy to Read Version says this in Ezekiel 22, verse 28. The prophets don't warn the people. They cover up the truth. They are like workers who don't really repair a wall. They only plaster over the holes. They only see lies. They do their magic to learn the future, but they only tell lies. They say, this is what the Lord God said, but they are only lying. The Lord did not speak to them. It says also in verse 26, easy to read version, about the priests. The priests have really hurt my teachings. They don't treat my holy things right. They don't show that they are important. They treat holy things the same as the things that are not holy. They treat clean things like they are not, like they are unclean. They don't teach the people about these things. They refuse to respect my special days of rest. They treat me as though I am not important. Listen, if you go to a church where the pastor doesn't tremble at God's word, Isaiah 66, verse 2. The Lord says, in this one will I look, I'll recognize and notice him, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. You know, you open up the Bible and you have to remind yourself, this is the word of God. This is God's mind in print. And the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What a privilege to be able to read God's word. What a privilege to be called to teach God's word and preach God's word. The Lord says the priests have done violence to his law. What a huge and horrible sin to do violence to God's law, to twist God's law. I think that's the worst sin of all, is spiritual poison. Debbie and I watched a movie over the weekend called The Good Nurse. The Good Nurse is a adaptation of a true story about a man named Charles Cullen, who was a nurse, and he worked for 16 years in 10 different hospitals and nursing homes, and he was a serial killer. And he would poison the IV bags with insulin, and when they would give the IV bag to the unsuspecting patient, well, then it would throw their chemistry off and they died. And finally they figured out, hey, this is the guy that's doing that. And the good nurse, this whole story is about a nurse that turned him in. But the hospitals and the nursing homes, they knew something was rotten in Denmark, but they just kept passing this guy off onto other unsuspecting healthcare facilities. They didn't want the liability. And so in my mind, you're complicit in the deaths of, it estimated 400 people died because of this guy. He was allowed to do his terrible, horrible work for 16 years. It's awful. Now, as bad as that is to poison IV bags, it's even worse to inject poison into the scripture, into the teaching of the Bible, and poison people's minds and hearts. Because that doesn't send them to the grave. That sends them to hell forever and ever and ever. I hear people say to me, well, you know, my son, my daughter, they started going to church again. I'm so glad. I don't care where they go to church, just so long as they go to church. That's a very short-sighted, ignorant statement, because it matters where people go to church. You want to go to church where they preach the word of God, where they say, thus says the Lord, where the pastor is a faithful mailman to deliver the truth. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we're going to be taking your calls right after the break, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We're talking about Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, standing in the gap. And God is looking for a man, a woman, a boy, or girl who will stand in the gap for the land and intercede and be a good soldier of Christ Jesus so that God's wrath doesn't come in and destroy, because there is a breach in the wall and it comes because of sin. So call in, let's have a conversation about this, 888-589-8840, and I will talk to you after the break.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Here's Dr. Ligon Duncan from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
I think the most striking thing to me about the Bible is that it not only reveals God to me, it is God speaking to us, revealing himself to us. But in the process of teaching us about himself, he reveals so much about who we are. I often tell people that one of the ways that I know that the Bible is true is the way that it diagnoses my sin. I'm often reading through a passage and I'm thinking, this was written 3,000 years ago, and yet it perfectly diagnoses the state of the sin of my heart. The only way that can happen is if my Creator is actually the author of the book.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Will you help us send persecuted Christians around the world exactly what they're praying for? And that's a Bible to be able to endure and persevere. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International. It wasn't too long ago that I was in Indonesia, the largest Muslim-majority country in the world, where a local evangelical church was introducing Muslims to Jesus Christ.
They want people not to just go to church, but to really understand who Jesus is. That's why they started to go from house to house, door to door.
They lovingly shared the gospel. But this happened.
Because they didn't like it, they started to throw bombs to the church. People threatened to kill them.
But persecuted believers, they love their enemies, and they count it all joy to suffer for the Lord Jesus.
They didn't give up because they know that God will be there for them.
Help us bless persecuted believers with their very own copy of the Bible by the end of January at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org. SendBiblesNow.org.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, where God is searching for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land. But he says, so that I wouldn't destroy it, but I found no one. And here is our premise. Christians make the difference in our nation, in our world, as we intercede, as we get right, as we walk with God, as we shine for Christ, because our lives are in the light, as we share, boldly share, and speak the truth in love, God responds to that. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, and if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Deliverance doesn't come from the White House. It comes from God's house. And God's people need to wake up and stand up and be the people that God wants us to be. I'm speaking to myself as I'm speaking to you, because this is a call for all of us. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. And we have Dennis on the line from Texas. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Dennis, are you there? Dennis. Well, we'll come back to Dennis. I can't get him. Don't go away, Dennis, or call back in. We have Peter on the line from Texas. Peter, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thanks for having me, Pastor Shreve. I appreciate you, appreciate all that you're doing, and I like your stand about standing. It's definitely biblical, and it seems that that's what the call is these days. And if people are willing to do that, I'm sure God will provide the power to get whatever it needs to get done. Sort of like Gideon's case, mm-hmm. where the army kept getting shrunk and shrunk. It's like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, yeah, that's the idea. And when you get 10 people, then we'll go and storm the gate. And everyone will know it was the Lord that did it.
Right.
So I like that approach very much. I just moved to Texas, and I haven't found a church yet, but I was hoping you might have a little advice on where I might find a good church down here in the Houston area. Besides having to go sit in each one and judge
yes.
for myself.
Yeah, so what part of Houston, Peter?
I'm in the Woodlands.
Okay. Okay, so in the Woodlands, my pastor's son, Kerry Shook, has a church in the Woodlands, Fellowship of the Woodlands, which is a large church. Woods Edge okay. is in the Woodlands. My daughter went there for a while. She liked it a lot. I was on staff at Champion Forest. That's probably a 30-minute drive from you or 25, kind uh-huh. of in right at the edge of spring there. So those would be some that would be by you. And we've been away now almost 20 years. It seems amazing. But Houston was my stomping
wow.
grounds. And so the Woodlands is a really nice place to live. It's a beautiful
yes,
city.
It is. And I'm indeed enjoying that very much. I left the craziness of California. It just got to be too demonic. It really, point blank, that's pretty much what's going on. There's an infection in the body politic and in the people. There's like a delusion that people are living under. And I remember a funny story when I grew up probably the heathen of all heathens in the Bay Area. And when I found Jesus, my mother said, "What did I do wrong?"
Oh, wow.
That's how opposite everybody is. They and people that you love, people that you know,
right.
and they have literally zero love of the Lord. And it's really sad. You know, you pray for them, but they just don't want it. They'd rather live in a lie. And I think that's what's happening in America is people are used to the lie so much that they just don't even know what the truth is anymore. They're all deluded and confused. And I was hoping that, like you were saying, people could stand up and shine that light. And hopefully that light will break through that little crusty, you know, doubt and fear and so forth. And maybe it's just the people that who have their life touched can tell their story, like you keep saying. And maybe that's what all the different types of stories of people coming to the Lord will break through all the different types of people that are still holding out. So,
yeah,
I'm hoping that's the way to go.
Well, you know, the Lord... coming to the Lord, it takes humility, and it takes a willingness to repent and turn from sin and turn to the Savior, and that is the sticking point for people. And the Scripture says, makes it clear why people perish. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, for those who perish, why do they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, but they took pleasure in wickedness. And it's exactly what Jesus said in John 3. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil, so they don't come to the light. Because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. They don't want to be called a sinner. They don't want to agree with God.
Right.
And if you don't do that, you can't be right with God. And you're going to hear him say, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Well, hey, I wish you all the best, yeah. Peter. And right. we're a little Thank far you. From you in the Woodlands. It would be about a four and a half hour drive. But we'd love to have you sometime.
Thank you so much. You know, I wanted to ask you... you do come up with some really great, poignant verses, and I'm sure your knowledge of verse is really pretty deep. And I'm actually starting this little T-shirt thing where I want to put a verse on the front of the shirt that Jesus said, and then have the verse, and then on the back, maybe have a bigger version of the verse on the back. And that way, the word can go out. You can wear the little T-shirt on, and people will see you smiling face, and maybe they'll ask you, "What does that mean?" And you can tell them. and then
yeah, it's a great idea.
So what's your favorite verse? Do you have a favorite verse?
Well, in that scenario where Jesus said, I think John 8:24 is pretty critical. That may make some people mad, but John 8:24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe I am He, you shall die in your sins." That's pretty important.
I think that's pretty straightforward. I believe everything Jesus said.
Yes.
So that definitely tells. Okay, thank you so much for that. And yeah, I would love to visit your church today.
Well, if you ever come, Peter, just make sure to always come. I always hang around down front after the service, so I'd love to meet you and put a name with the face.
Great. Sounds good. I would do the same. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Peter. God bless. Well, we have, let's see, is Dennis back? Dennis might not be back. We have Donna from Texas on the line. Donna, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to give Peter an official invitation to Grace Woodlands, right off on the 45 Frontage Road there. A great church, Pastor Riggle, and the leadership there.
Yes.
Support us and teach us how to process, you know, God's word and what's going on in our, you know, in our country and that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. So Steve Riggle has been the pastor of Grace Church for how 35 years? How long?
It's been a long time, but you know, I just got there I think it was probably in the summer is when I actually started going regularly, and the Lord released me from where I was going before, and I truly believe I was led there.
Yeah, amen. Well, I've heard nothing but good about that church, so that's a good recommendation. Thank you, Donna, for calling in, and thank you for encouraging Peter like that, brand new to the area, so that will help him. So God bless you. Well, we have Marco on the line from Texas. Marco, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Happy New Year, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Peter, this is Marco. I just recently moved to Magnolia, a mile away from the Woodlands, and I go to Real Life in Tomball, and I also want to invite you there. They have a great men's ministry. I think what we're needing is men to step up and be leaders and providers. And I'm encouraged by the Monday night football game that happened not too long ago, where a Bills player went down, and a lot of players, a lot of coaches, a lot of even newscasters started seeking God in prayer. And some people were saying comments like, well, if you believe in that sort of thing, but it's been trending. And we just need men to step up. And I know it's about evangelizing, but it's also about just firing up existing believers like you, Peter, and myself. And this ministry, I love what Pastor Jeff does. It fires me up every morning. And I want to thank you for that. And Peter, I hope to see you at Real Life in Tomball. Seek me out, Marco. I'd love to give you a hug and pray with you. Thank you.
How cool. Thanks, Marco. I appreciate that. I appreciate you calling in and encouraging Peter that way. Well, we have Dennis on the line from Texas. Dennis, do we have you now?
Yes. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I want to thank you for what you're doing. And it's so true that I've been kicked out of 7 churches, by the way, and every one of them were tickling the ears like you're talking about. And they don't like it when you tell the truth. They just tell me to leave. You know, they don't physically do anything. I just leave. But it seems to be a little bit too prominent. Sure, there's good Bible-believing churches out there, but there's not enough.
Yeah. It's a sad deal that churches are, they've gotten away. Once you get away from the Word, you get away from the power of God, because the Lord says, Isaiah 66, verse 2, "But to this one will I look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word." So it doesn't matter what I say. It matters what the Lord says. And I think, too, Dennis, for pastors that are concerned about offending people, we are not to be offensive in our person, you know, and just poking everybody in the eye and turning everybody off. But we're to be faithful. And the Lord's word is offensive because it calls us sinners in need of a Savior, and people don't like that. And it shines light in the darkness. And I've said for years, men are like roaches. And you know, you turn on, if you have roaches somewhere and you turn on the light, they scatter because they want to be in the darkness. And so those who want to be in the darkness, who love their sin rather than love God and choose wickedness over the Lord, well, they're not coming to the light. But our job as pastors is to be faithful, to preach the word and just let the chips fall where they may and not worry about who it may offend, because it will offend. Jesus offended people by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And as I told Peter, you know, a good verse for the shirt, John 8:24, unless you believe I am he, you will all die in your sins. That's very narrow and very pointed, and doesn't leave any middle ground or wiggle room. It just says, here's the deal. Jesus is the only way to God, and you can't get there any other way other than repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Dennis, I hope you find a church. You live in the Dallas area. Now, you're only 3 hours away from us. We'd love to have you come visit some Sunday.
I might. I used to live in Texarkana, actually. I've been to your church.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Well, good.
Your First Baptist Church in Texarkana, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe I will come by there and I'll introduce myself and thank you for what you're doing. And we need more people of God like yourself, sir.
Well, thank you, my friend. God bless you, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you one Sunday. Well, we have John on the line from Houston. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Shreve, thank you for having me. I'm from Magnolia, Texas, and we also go to the church the other gentleman was speaking about, Real Life Ministries. Uh-huh. But I'm on my way to Fort Worth. My brother is literally on his deathbed from a stroke. And I'm concerned for his salvation. We've never had any deep conversations about whether or not he's accepted Jesus. And I'm going to try to do some intercessory prayers with him to, you know, I'm not sure what to do or how to treat a person who may or may not be saved. He can't speak. He can't understand. Right. And I'm just going there to do my best
right.
prayer what, for him.
John, what's his name?
His name is Pat.
Okay. Well, we have about a minute. Let me pray for Pat and just pray that God would give you wisdom and that God would just be merciful and enable Pat to hear what you have to say. I would read scripture to him. I would just share with him John 14:6, that Jesus is the way, that if he cries out to Jesus, that Jesus will save him. Whosoever believes on him will not be disappointed. And when we call upon the Lord, he is faithful to answer. So, Father, we pray for Pat, and we pray that his heart would be open, and we pray, Lord, for John as he goes to minister to his brother. And, Lord, give him wisdom, give him the words to say. And, Father, we just pray for a divine appointment even on this deathbed situation, and that you would just be merciful and gracious. We thank you for the cross and the empty tomb. We thank you for the power of your word, and we ask you, Lord, to bring salvation to Pat. When we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you, John. Let me know how that goes. And I know that's a difficult situation. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's a joy to get to share with you the truths of the Word of God. And we always talk about shining and sharing. And this year at First Baptist, we're talking about standing in the gap to stand in intercessory prayer. So very important. God will respond to us as his children get right and stand in the gap for the land. So God bless you and make this a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.